I'm looking at the wrong translation of the Bible, so it won't quite read as you have. If you've got a church Bible, it won't quite read, not the wrong translation, a different translation of the Bible, but it won't quite read as the church one. Forgive me for that this evening. Then Jesus comes from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. But Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Beginnings are such important times, aren't they? I think that's a significant part of what the hoo-ha about Brexit is all about. We're all ready for something new to begin, or even if we don't want it to begin, we're getting ready for the fact that it might begin. And it's not beginning. And we've been waiting all this time, and we'd just rather it moved along and got on with it, and then we could all get on with whatever it is we're going to have to get on with when we finally get there, if we get there or whatever. And beginnings are such important times. We don't like them to be mixed up and slow starting and going wrong. And school, going back to a new school, it's lovely to hear a good story, but it can be quite a challenge. These beginnings are such important times. Beginnings, it's possible to make mistakes in, that take a long time to recover from, to get over and to sort things out. Well, we don't find that here, although there is a hint that it might have happened. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry in this passage, shows us a number of things. The record is very clear, very simple. It happened on one occasion. It wasn't drawn out and difficult. It happened in a moment in history that these original crowd of witnesses would have testified to. If we'd been alive back then, we could have asked them, we could have verified this record. And so as we look at this moment in history, we see a number of things. The first thing we see is that Jesus' baptism happened with a clear purpose. A very clear purpose. On this specific occasion, with very little confusion, the herald John knew he had to announce Jesus to the world. And despite not fully understanding everything that was going on, that's very clear from what John is saying, you know, it all went smoothly because the bottom line was John knew his place. John's purpose was to proclaim Jesus. He was humble. He submits himself to the Lord Jesus. When the Lord says, no, not like that, John, we're going to do this, John says, yes, Lord. John actually is right. John had been saying just before this, Jesus will come and baptize you with fire. And of course he's right, because in Pentecost, Jesus came, or rather Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and filled the believers with fire. And that was the baptism of fire. But then, of course, by then, John is dead. He's in glory, awaiting the forgiveness of sins at the cross and the ascension of Jesus into heaven with all the other Old Testament saints and all that will happen. But despite being right, Jesus will baptize one day with fire. When Jesus says, not like that, we must do this, John says, yes. The clear purpose is to proclaim something else, something greater to come. Are you ready to hear that something greater is to come? Are you ready to hear there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin? Are you ready with John to stand humbly before the Lord Jesus when he says, not your way, you must do it my way? At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, it's very clear purpose to proclaim salvation. Jesus, in beginning his ministry, secondly then, shows us that he was being baptized to fulfill all that had been promised, the Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah says, he will carry their iniquities. That's the reading Kez read for us before. And he was counted among the rebels. This is why Jesus wanted to be baptized. Because he wants us to know that he's like us. He has come and is a very is a fully human being like us. He's not an angel or vastly different or something weird or something. He is fully human. He can represent us before God. That's going to become a vital truth. How important it is that the Lord Jesus can be one of us. Offerings of sheep and goats and pigeons and doves have not sufficed all the way through Old Testament history. They've only been a pointer forward. God's people had worked that out. Fruits of the forest or field will not suffice. That goes back to Cain and Abel. We understand from the Old Testament that sin requires a blood offering. And we've rather got separated from the death of an animal so that we might eat meat. We've rather forgotten, I think, as a culture, the horrible effects of sin. Do you find it easy to sit in front of the news and then turn it off afterwards and not be affected by the latest war, famine, flood, whatever it is? That's where we're getting to in our culture. We've forgotten how horrible these things are. Who will stand up for the dead of Syria? Jesus does. He comes to identify with humanity, to be one of us. But he promises so much more as well. Here's the third thing. Jesus, in being baptized at the beginning of his ministry, is dedicating himself to make the sinners he identifies with right with God, as indeed he still is. Isaiah goes on to say, yet he bore the sins of many and interceded for the rebels. Jesus is saying not only will he stand up for the widow and the orphan, but he will make the sinner right with God again, if that is what they want, if they will accept the offer. This fulfillment of all righteousness is an amazing thing. It is through this Lord Jesus that each and every one who will be in heaven will be in heaven. Nobody else is getting into heaven any other way. That's what it says, to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness that is done through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no righteousness that is not the product of Christ's work. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? So here's the question, and you've been asked already, are you the product of Christ's work tonight? Have you accepted his sacrifice on your behalf? We need to be. Why not ask him tonight? And before the end of this evening, take a copy of that little booklet on the side there, Knowing God Personally, and read through. Or chat to me or to Steve or one of the older Christian folk here. Even Harrison and Ruth and Bernard have testified to what the Lord has done. Speak to one of them this evening. Here's another thing we see in the Lord Jesus. Being baptized at the beginning of the ministry, he comes in peace. That's why it's a dove. You see, John's been saying Jesus is coming with fire. And you wonder why a dove comes when fire has been promised. If you'd been promised fire and you got a dove, you might be a little bit surprised, a bit concerned. Fire is powerful. The dove is the sign of peace. John has been speaking of fire, but fire is not yet. Fire will come. When Jesus comes again, it will be to judge. And there will be a winnowing, and there will be a choice. Jesus has not lost his power, don't get me wrong, but he comes at this moment in peace. He comes at this moment with a message of peace. The veil between heaven and earth is open. That's power. But what comes is the dove of peace. Because in this ministry of the Lord Jesus that is just beginning, he wants to reconcile us to himself. He wants to show us how much he loves us. He wants to show us how desperately important it is to him for us to be reunited in peace with him instead of at war, at odds. He comes in love to remind his Old Testament people. He comes in love to tell the rest of the world, have peace with God. Your sin can be forgiven. These four things Jesus shows us. And then to prove it all and to top it off, as Jesus is baptized, he is blessed by God. God himself speaks. The voice of God speaks in blessing. Everyone heard the voice, and clearly there was no doubt. The voice spoke first to confirm Jesus' identity. He comes from heaven. Yes, he's identified with you. He's walked 30 years amongst you. He's a man. You know him as a man. Now God says, but he's come from me, from heaven. So I've said already he's fully human, but now we read he's fully divine. He is heaven. He is God sent. He is God himself. He is the one who fulfills all the promise, great David's greater son. He is from heaven himself. So blessed by God, God says, he is my son. Then God says, he is loved or beloved. This is my beloved son. The Father loves the Son. We should not be surprised by this. The whole idea of God being the first cause and the order of things. We want God to be a God of love, don't we? We need God to be a God of love, don't we? But it's good to be reminded of it. It's good to be assured of it. It's good to hear God say himself, I love the Lord Jesus. The Christian God is unique in this way. He is three in one. Trinity, we say. He's not some lonely, isolated individual, but three persons who live in love with one another throughout time and throughout eternity. In full harmony and unity, they're each fully God. And yet also together they are God. Here is mystery and majesty. These three who love one another. Finally, the voice speaks of approval. Jesus in his ministry is approved by God. In other words, he speaks on behalf of God. The message you have from Jesus will be accurate about God and about his love. You may trust this message. You may trust this messenger. I don't know if you've ever read the testimony of false prophets and the sects and the cults, but they really struggle when it comes to this. They really do. Private visitations given in the dark of night. Secret translations of documents made, which actually later on, in the case of Joseph, the Mormons have been proven to be false. With the Lord Jesus Christ in public, in that place, at that time, before a huge crowd, heaven itself open, and God says, I approve this messenger. That's an American campaign slogan. They have to say that at the end, don't they? You know, but they're just copying. It's just a cheap copy of what God did. When God said, I approve the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the lowdown, the accurate, what you need to know about me and heaven and your sin, and how you get back in touch with me, how you are again at peace with me. We do not need to worry about the message when we go to the Bible and read about Jesus, because it is approved by God. Do you remember the words of Simeon? I know them from my days in the school choir, the Nunc Dimittis. Do you remember how Simeon says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, as you have promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You've prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. On the day of the beginning of Christ's ministry, we see all these things. We see above all else, he is approved by God to that clear purpose to fulfill the Old Testament, to be one with us and show us that we can have peace again with God. I want to just ask you, have you begun a walk to glory with the Lord Jesus? There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross, the other end of Jesus' ministry, is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus.